survey form?
We've all seen it. I didn't print it.
Okay.
Okay, do you have one?
I do have one. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Always seems to me to be more efficient to give people information in advance.
Yeah.
I have 10:04, the meeting is now called to order. We're going to incorporate this in with our normal.
Let's just do the agenda. Let's just do the agenda.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we have members here from the Virginians for Election Transparency. If you would please introduce yourselves to the board.
Okay.
My name is Steve Quinnen.
I'm sorry, sir, how do you spell your last name?
Quinnan.
Quinnan.
Thank you.
And the organization is Virginians for America First.
Oh, it's not Election Transparency.
And our objective is free and fair elections. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that works for free and fair elections.
And what was the name? Because I had on the survey that it was a different name. So what is the name?
Virginians for America First.
VFAF.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Rose Quinnan. And I'm Steve Quinnan's wife.
So I don't have to spell your name.
Yes, Quinnan.
Spell the spell.
A-N.
Oh, there's no A F B N.
Quinnan.
Okay.
A-N.
Okay.
Not Quinlan.
I stuck another N in. I want him to be correct in a minute when we look at him.
Okay.
Hi. Pam Sinex, S-I-N-E-X, like Sinex.
You.
And we're all from Oneida.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our home county.
Bedford or Franklin?
Franklin
side. Oh. Yeah. This is home.
And who runs your organization?
I'm sorry.
The head executive is Joshua Pratt, P-R-A-T-T.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right, I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Darrell Powell. I chair the board. This is Kay Salibi. She is vice chair. And this is Jody Brown. She's the secretary.
Okay.
And then Kay Chitwood is our registrar.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing the floor is theirs.
So we have the questionnaire with several categories of questions. First category is just general questions. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
Well, for myself, it would be the new implementation of our new electronic poll books. Anytime we have something new, I get kind of anxious and want to make sure everything goes well for election day. So we'll be actually training our officers of election pretty soon on those new tablets. So that's my main concern.
Okay. So getting them all trained for the new tablets is the big,
yeah. Poll books.
And everything going great, so.
Okay, that's interesting. Are there any other major concerns second to that? No?
Okay. Now, as I understand it now, you're just addressing the registrar. This has nothing to do with the board?
Correct.
I'm very happy to hear feedback from the board as well, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah,
then I would like to answer that to that first question. There is a law on the books now that talks about electronic devices having Wi-Fi capability. Our new electronic poll books are going to have a Wi-Fi, even though it is on a frequency that is not approachable by the public or anyone else. Is secure in that measure. However, I am concerned that our election process is getting more and more and more computerized, which I totally disagree with. But you ask,
right.
I'm telling.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Who can access that Wi-Fi?
Well, the system in it, as I understand it, is just so that this EPB, this tablet, it's a tablet, it's what it is, can speak to the other tablet, right? Mm-hmm. That's all. That these two tablets can talk to each other, so that they can count, you know, check each other out to make sure that the people who are registering or who are coming to vote are who they say they are. So that's all it's for.
It's a check.
Normally, before that, we used laptops that were hardwired plugged into each other.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there are laws saying there's not to be any type of equipment that has those capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's going to put that in, I'll just say that the law is very carefully written so that it does allow for the kind of Wi-Fi that is in these tablets have gone through extensive consideration and testing. That I've read the testing questions mm-hmm. that each piece of equipment in Virginia has to answer, has to get up to Virginia standards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not concerned about that at all. And I think the rest of what Daryl said is speculation.
Mm-hmm. Kay, would you like to chime in on that?
I would like to say that our IT with the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Department of Election have a team that very thoroughly test and make sure it meets all cybersecurity before we're even able to look at the piece of equipment. And most of the time, that's on the State Board of Elections website of their certified, approved equipment that we're allowed to use.
Okay.
If you would like to read those 110 questions that they have to answer and wade through the
sure.
responses.
I'd love to.
Go right ahead. It's perfectly fine for you to go read those.
Yeah. Are they available on your website or?
Not on ours, but on the Department of Elections.
The Virginia Department of Elections.
Department of Elections. Mm-hmm.
It's been certified.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And the code law in question that I'm talking about, as identification, is a 24.2-625.2. So you can go online and look at that yourself and see how you would interpret
so
that.
So what's that? What was
could
that?
You give that number again?
24.2-625.2.
625.2.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that will give us...
Yeah, that's...
The law that applies to the Wi-Fi.
Okay, got
right.
it. Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Question 3, do you feel you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes, I do. We have a good relationship with our local government, and we normally are able to work together to help with the citizens' needs.
That brings us to 5. The county election board is supposed to consist of 2 Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, but in some areas boards have trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead. What is the situation in this county?
We have 2 Democrats and 1 Republican.
Okay.
What about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans on the precinct staffs?
We try to have equal numbers, but in all cases, the chief and assistant chief represent different political parties, and we use independents to fill the other positions.
Mm-hmm.
One more in this category. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in the work of elections year-round or on a periodic basis?
It's year-round. We all work together as a team, so we all do things together.
I found that question very amusing.
Very oh, what?
Amusing.
Amusing.
It's a full-time.
How do we get together, Daryl?
Quite often, and these 2 ladies right here spend an ungodly number of hours together.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, mm-hmm. top-notch.
Awesome. So it goes on and on.
Impressive.
Yes.
All right, voter rolls. When was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned?
What we do is do an audit of our Alpha cards through our file in the office, and that was done March of 29.
Do you, does the health department or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter roll?
No, we don't receive it on an individual to each office basis. However, the Bureau of Vital Statistics sends a report to elect, and it is forwarded to us through the state system, which is VARIS.
The state.
Could you share that again? I'm sorry, I didn't get everything you said.
The Bureau of Vital Statistics sends a report to elect, which is the Virginia Department of Elections, and it is forwarded to us through the state system.
Oh, I see.
And the name of the state system is VARIS, V-E-R-I-S.
V-E-R-I-S is the state system for...
And the public doesn't have access to it, do they? To VARIS?
No.
Right. I just want to make sure that she understood that.
Right. Okay. This only comes to the to our staff that's in my office.
And what is contained in the VARIS report or in the...
The deceased people.
The deceased people. Only the deceased people.
That comes from the Bureau of Vital Statistics.
Okay. Right. Got it. Okay.
And then question 10, I think this is a probably misdirected. The clerk of the courts, I believe, does not have his or her agenda informing you of people who deny jury duty because they say they're non-citizens.
No, I've never received that information.
When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
July 2nd of this year.
Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date? That's not a loaded question, is it?
Yes, I do.
How many households in your locality, if you know this, have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
That's unknown to me at this point, and I don't think that VARIS supplies us a report to make that inquiry, especially if it's voters. Now, if you want citizens, you could go to the census information maybe, but no, I wouldn't have that information.
Right. Mm-hmm. During registration, do you verify that voters are citizens?
Well, the process that we go through is that the citizen fills out the Virginia voter registration application, and the affirmation statement is signed by the applicant on that form, and the box is checked under penalty of law.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at voting machines. There are several types of voting machines used in Virginia. You said something about the tablets that you use. What are all the different types of machines that you do use?
Well, we have the tablets, which we call electronic poll books, to check in the voters at the polling place. And our vendor for that is Demtech. And then for our voting machines, it is Dominion, and it's the what we call the ICE machine. It's the ImageCast Evolution.
Who calibrates the voting machines? Well, how does the process go?
Okay. We have a contract with the voting equipment vendor who is with Dominion as a vendor. And what he does is do the program and maintaining of the equipment. The logic and accuracy testing is conducted by an equal access to Dominion. Usually we have 2 to 3 electoral board members there and 1 to 2 party representatives.
Okay.
Are the voting machines ever connected
did you want a clarification?
Yeah, I just had a quick one.
Sure.
Clarification, Steve, on that. Calibrating the voting machines. After the machines are calibrated and after it sounds like there's been observers there, mm-hmm. Both parties, what happens then to the machines?
They're kept securely.
They're locked down.
They're locked.
Okay.
They're locked down with seals. So we would know, and the seal is recorded. So our, when it gets to the precinct, well, the first thing they do is they look to be sure that those seals that are on the ice machine are the same as they were when we
put them on.
Put them on.
Right.
And so they haven't been tampered with. We know they haven't been tampered with.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. That's a very good question.
Yeah. I was wondering what the name again of the electronic tablets is. I know you have
DemTech. It's DemTech.
DemTech. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Dominion machine is the ICE.
Yes.
Okay. And the calibration is done by a tech who's from Dominion that's familiar with.
A vendor from Atlantic Election Services.
Oh, a vendor from Atlantic Election Service. Okay.
That's just putting the stuff in.
Uh-huh, okay.
Right? Logic and accuracy test is once they're programmed, then at least two of us, sometimes all three of us, are there to participate. We don't just stand by and let the company do that.
Right.
We actually...
Work with them?
We work with them, and we have
There's
a little chat that we do.
There's actual analysts that are put through to do the test to make sure.
We look at every single machine. Be sure that the test ballots have come out of that particular machine accurately as they were put in.
We know what's going in the machine, we know how many ballots, what they've been marked as, and then we all stand there, they put it through. When the tape comes out, we all read the tape
to make sure
to verify
what we put in the machine
is what it gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And you use you test every different scenario, like this guy, that guy.
Yes.
This.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not just one ballot.
Right.
We overvote, we undervote, we do everything.
Mark two votes, yeah.
Whatever name is tested.
And see if it records it correctly.
Yes.
Right.
We know how many have been undervoted, overvoted, how many for candidate A, and we,
put them in and see what it says.
Over... Any way we can put them in, and we all read the tapes when they come out.
Okay.
And then the people who are there as observers from the parties are standing right there beside us. They can't handle the paper because the board handles the paper.
Right.
But if they have any questions, here it is.
What
do you get on it?
Right. Okay.
Everybody always agrees before we move on to the next.
Quite thoughtfully worked out.
Yeah.
We've all had a great time.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And we even have some party members come if they would like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've said.
Yeah, that's another question I think down
there.
Right.
Yeah.
And both parties are invited to send an observer.
Good.
And they often do, or they never do?
They nearly always do, and particularly the Republicans always do. The Democrats... Sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. Question 18, are the machines ever connected to the internet?
No.
No. How are they updated?
They're updated through a software program that's state certified, and that is handled through our vendor.
And that's... A flash drive or something attached to the machine.
That's what he does before we take over the logic and accuracy.
Right. Okay. Effects of COVID and other changes on the process. Do you, as an election professional, think that changes made to the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened it, or made no change?
In my position, my personal opinion has no place in how I conduct the job. I follow the state and federal laws in conducting the elections. Mm-hmm. And my position is a nonpartisan position, so.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else want to bring up any thoughts on that?
Well, as just a common sense voter, some of these laws that were passed this last year before the election, does it affect the
integrity.
Liability of the election, you know, the reliability of the election, absolutely it can affect it.
Absolutely.
Especially in some of the heavier populated areas. Here in Franklin County, this is American apple pie, and you know, we get along great here. It's the problems. Mm-hmm. But in other areas, I can see how those laws can affect the elections, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What laws are you talking about?
No voter ID pictures, one...
I don't think that was COVID related.
Whatever. It was politically
It's a recent law change.
I think it was.
In the COVID cycle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The other one was not requiring a signature for absentee ballot. Mm-hmm.
That was COVID.
Right.
That was COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They changed. We have early voting, in which in Franklin County, over a third of our voters started voting at this precinct, at our central precinct. And it's supposedly the purpose of it, the way I understood it was to cut down some of the lines at election day and trying to get everybody in one. Well, everybody, a third of our election start voting at this one precinct now, and you got lines.
Right.
Just about every day there's lines out here.
Yeah.
So what did that accomplish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
It just bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. That's what it accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would disagree with almost everything Darrell has said.
Okay.
And he knows I would.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. We still talk to each other. But I really take very, very seriously the fact that all three of us took an oath to follow the U.S. Constitution, the Virginia Constitution, and Virginia laws.
Mm-hmm.
And anything other than following those laws is speculation.
But not when those laws go against the Constitution.
That's what I was.
Then your right is not with.
Then it's in a legislative problem.
It's a
not
legislative.
Right.
Yeah.
Every one of us can try to influence our representatives in the House and in the Senate in Virginia.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But once those two groups pass a law, that then is the law of Virginia, and we have taken an oath to uphold it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And I think that is very, very essential to the whole process.
Correct.
I totally agree with you. I had one question, though. This is regarding, do you think that laws included, everything included, are we in a better place, or have we strengthened our integrity, or have we weakened our integrity? It's kind of like, you know, we know that you're going to follow the law. But if the law is kind of sketchy, then maybe you might feel that doesn't really help us that much. I think that's the question.
Well,
the question is...
That may well be the question, but that's speculation. To me, that's speculation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
And I would say, too, while we're on that subject, that the election process system is set up for a two-party system.
That's
why we have two different parties on our board members.
Right.
Just to keep our eyes open and our ideologies tuned to where the laws are trying to manipulate free elections.
Right, yeah.
And that's why we have difference of opinions, because we have different ideologies.
Right.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And I think that's speculation
to say that the laws...
To
manipulate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
our
opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All laws are interpreted. Even this book of laws has opinions from judges. After the law is written, then the judges will enter opinions.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right.
Do you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or for any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
I wish.
No Zucker bucks.
Effective July 21st, and this is relating to something you were mentioning before, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training staff to ensure there is a signature match for the upcoming elections?
The registrar and office staff make sure the absentee envelope is signed by the voter and the witness, And if not, it goes to the registrar for the curing process. And that's where I reach out to each voter and tell them what they're missing or what they need so that we can count their ballot.
There was a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
In our office, we have a drop box during business hours, and the office staff always follows the chain of custody procedures, and part of that is having the two staff members at all times whenever that's being approach. The precinct has the same follow chain of custody procedures, and their officers of election also have to follow the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So there's a box that's out during business hours during the entire election cycle.
And there is a drop box inside the door of my office that you can come in and put your absentee ballot in.
Okay. Okay.
And then you have boxes at the precincts
on election day.
So yes. Bags, but
yeah.
They're actual bags that are chained to a table or a safe location where you can take your ballots and drop those in. Mm-hmm.
The monitoring of those is by the presence of at least two people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not by video surveillance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Who is responsible? Okay. So there is no video. So that's irrelevant. And 24 is in A. Would you provide training and support or designate Virginians for America First to provide training support for an election day page program? I don't know if you have ever participated in this.
No, not at this time, but we have used an election day page program in the past with the high school students.
Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers? So, for example, on behalf of a candidate who's declared as an independent, with the same rights as party representatives?
Okay, can you say that again? Because I think that's the
question. For example,
a
if we have an independent candidate running for an office, he may want to have an observer. Would you authorize an observer for him with the same rights that are afforded to a party candidate?
They would approach the electoral board and give that person's name, and then we would have a letter right. from them for them to be there.
Mm-hmm. That's covered in the code. The code deals with that, which is different from the way I read your question, because this suggests that it be a nonpartisan election observer that didn't necessarily have any connection.
That's right.
To any other party.
No, I think it's referring to that. When I look at the practice for being an observer, it appears to me that I approach a party. And the party approves me as an observer.
Right.
So this would be a case where somebody has not a party to approach.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think any of us interpreted that question that
right.
way.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We thought it was just something coming off the street.
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
Well, that's the way we read it.
Okay. It would be easy to read it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll talk to Josh about the word.
Give us the name and approach the electoral board with that person.
The only thing I would like to add with that is this last election we had was so divisive. The whole country was at odds. And I don't remember having observers or as many as we did in the precincts. We're so apple pie, you know, everybody's always just trusting everybody, and it just happened, elections happened. But because everything that was going on this past election, we had observers in here, but our observers were not allowed to get close to see what was going on. They had to, like in this year, we had our machines over here. The observer was made to sit right here while all the balloting and stuff was going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just because I don't think we have stopped and said, look, wait a minute, what are we doing? What are we allowing? What does the law allow for? And as I have read the law, I read it last night, we should have allowed that person to go over there and actually see what is going on.
What precinct are you talking about that we kept people far away from?
We can discuss that later, but I don't think we discuss it in front of them. But I observed an observer not being allowed to get next to the CAP machines.
We told our observers that they could be with it. They could hear what they were saying. They couldn't be over their shoulders looking at our poll books.
That's what an observer does. They observe. They actually have to be allowed to see what is going on and observe. And they use the COVID thing to keep them away from it. But the people who are working with each other, they have, you know.
They don't.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The observer doesn't see the completed ballot from the voter, but he sees the process by which the voter gets the ballot to complete.
And they can see that process.
And we were told, and we told our people they should be, they could be within hearing distance, they could be close enough that they could hear what was going on, but they would not be allowed to, you know, look over their shoulders.
Right.
So they were not across, we never told our observers they had to be across the room. If that happened, they weren't.
It did happen, and I actually know the person personally. I mean, I came in to talk to get her, because the person was in here for an extended amount of time to get her something. The door was locked. I couldn't even get in the door. You know, it's just, you know, but it's because of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Everything is so. And I don't think there's even a crooked person in this field would try to do something wrong. But we need to start looking at our laws and start following, because the next election may get even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need those observers. Mm-hmm. Both
that's
parties
right.
are going to need those
that's
observers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's my point, and I'll shut up.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office? Each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots.
Which question are you?
This is
number 28.
28. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped 27.
Yeah, we skipped a
which asked about international nonpartisan observers. I don't know if you ever have any requests.
No, we probably wouldn't do that. Each precinct would have space that is used to accommodate a significant number of observers.
Mm-hmm.
And with the COVID, so
okay.
That was my response for 27.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. 28, have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
No, if a request is made, we are for transparency. However, it is not required for the registrar to notify the party chairs of their votes.
Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes.
And that's the state guidelines?
Yes, sir.
and that's it. Do you have questions for us? Have any questions for us?
No.
Do you consider yourself a bipartisan organization?
Nonpartisan. Yes.
And do you have officials at the top that are of both parties?
I don't actually know all the people at the top. I can't answer that question.
Locally, do you have members of those parties?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
You know, thank you so much for...